Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis 22. I would like to read one verse, Genesis 22:5. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you this morning. I believe that the Lord has given me a message on this subject of worship. And the more I look, search, seek out in the Scriptures, what does the Scriptures have to say about worship, the more I realize how very little I know. I know what men by nature, and when I say that, you know what I mean. Man by nature is religious. Men by nature are religious. There is a way in which a man left to himself is going to worship something. Paul told the group that he met at Mars Hill. He said, I want to talk to you. He said, about this statue that you have right here. They had statue after statue after statue of gods. And there was one that said to the unknown God, he said, this is a God I want to talk to you about, one you don't know. Now, man by nature does not know God. Just the way it is. Man is born dead spiritually. Now, the first thing that man doesn't believe is he doesn't believe that. Man thinks that he can somehow worship, and I've said this before, and you know when I tell you this, I've said it, you know, time and time, but this is what men think. They think that worship somehow is something that we can conjure up, that we assume the position, assume the position, I guess, is the word of worship. It's somehow, if someone were to say, let's just worship the Lord right now. Let's begin to worship the Lord. Well, what would you do? What do you do? I mean, you close your eyes. It's what they think. Somehow you close your eyes and you... Maybe it's more spiritual if you put your head back. And maybe lift your hands up. And then maybe move back and forth. Now, I'm serious. I know that sounds funny. But I'm telling you. That's what man thinks. Let's worship the Lord. And then let's mumble something. Like words, you know, you can't hear them. But they, you know... Worship. The more I looked at this sacred thing, worship, as I began to look, I realized this is a subject concerning this marvelous blessing that is too high for me. It's a privilege that is mysteriously wonderful. It is that for which the believer, and only a believer, only one that has been, and I won't take the time to go in this, I feel as though that I can hardly use a word and not qualify every word, Carl, that I say. But I'm going to say a believer is one that has been taught by God's grace that he of himself can do nothing to merit salvation before God. He cannot. He can't choose God of himself. He can't seek God of himself. He must, by sovereign grace and power, be made to behold with new eyes, a new heart, new ears, spiritually to behold. But a believer only is given the privilege, and worship is a privilege, to worship the Lord God of heaven. And he must be, a man, a woman, must be prepared and qualified to do so. Because it is not within the power of a man, the natural man, to worship God. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Because man doesn't know what to do. This is an amazing thing. I'm worship. Worship. I do so pray that God would bless the words that I believe he's prepared my heart to preach, and he would teach me what the Scripture has got to say. Teach you. Whatever you thought about worship, whatever you do, I ask you right now, and I ask myself, trying to even tell myself, please put it out of your mind what you've ever thought about worship. Put it out of your mind what you've ever tried to come up with. What does the Word of God have to say about worship? The Lord Jesus Christ told the woman that we read a moment ago, he said, true worshipers. Well, obviously, there's false worshipers. True worshipers. I want to know something about this. I want to know what is it to worship God. True worshipers, because I'm going to bring out in just a minute, a man or a woman that does not worship God does not know him. True worshipers. True worshipers. This mention of worship. First time that the word worship is ever mentioned in the Scriptures is right here. When Abraham said to these two men that had gone with him, he said, I want you to stay right here. He said, the lad and I are going to go yonder and we're going to worship. We're going to worship God. And he did. When he said that, he was convinced he was going there to worship God. Lad and I are going to go worship, and we're going to come back. Now that's an amazing thing. Abraham knew that he was going to do something that Almighty God alone would give him a heart to do. I know that worship is an evidence of regeneration. That scripture we read a while ago, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. Listen to this, in spirit and in truth. I had someone tell me something a few years ago about that passage right there. And they said this. They said, we worship God, she said, in spirit. She said, now, you may worship him in truth, but we worship him in spirit. And I told them, I said, you don't truly worship God without both of them. They that worship God, this is what I know so far. They that worship God, worship Him spiritually and truthfully. That's what that scripture means. Spiritually and truthfully. Before a man or woman can worship God, they have to be given a heart, a new heart, to worship God in spirit because they are void of the Spirit of truth. They must worship Him truthfully, but they must be taught the gospel. They must be taught the truth. So therefore, if a man or a woman believes a lie, and what is it to believe a lie? It is to believe, as I said last week, I think it was, the essence, the pinnacle. If you want to look at, take a triangle. Sometimes I have to form these little things in my mind to know what I'm talking about. Take the pinnacle of a triangle. If you want to talk about this triangle, is what I'm going to call rebellion against God. The pinnacle of that rebellion against God is the belief that a man has a free will to do what he chooses to do over what Almighty God has purposed he's going to do. You think about it. If a man or a woman believes that they have the will to either receive or reject what God has purposed, truthfully, they are more powerful than God because they can overrule. I heard someone say, God has willed to do so and so, but man, it's left up to man to make the last and final decision. That is blasphemy against God. That is blasphemy against God. That makes man, that false teaching makes man to be the one who has the final say. And salvation is of the Lord. Worship is reserved for only those that Almighty God has given a heart after Him. Worship is initiated by God Himself. You know the scripture. In that same scripture that we just read, the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Someone says, you see there? You see, I told you. God's just looking for somebody. He's just looking for somebody to worship Him. Oh, how He wishes that He could find somebody to worship Him. Well, the only problem with that is that's not what He's saying. If anyone worships God, let me say it like this, God sought him out. God sought him. God seeketh such. God seeketh such. You know why God seeketh such? Because man won't. Leave a man to himself. The Scripture says no man seeks after God. So therefore, who shall worship Him? Those that the Father seeks. Irresistibly seeks. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is not worshipped with men's hands. That is to say, externally, by that mumbo jumbo that I was talking about. There's some folks in this congregation right now that's worshiping God. They worship. They're worshiping Him. Worship is in the heart. It's a new heart that worships God. This stony heart must be removed. God said, I'll do that. I'll remove the stony heart and I'll give you a new heart, one after my heart. Let's look at the passage then and pray that the Spirit of God will teach us something about this thing of worship. As I said a while ago, worship is reserved only for God's elect, and they must be prepared to worship Him. Genesis 22:1 says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Now let me say this first of all. When that word tempt is used right there, James 1:13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Well, the scripture right here says that God did tempt Abraham. But we're talking about two different words here. This word tempt right here means to prove or to test or to show or to reveal. We looked last week at that Hebrews 12:6, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And that word chasten there means educates. He instructs them. He teaches them. And He does scourge or flogs every son whom He receives, accepts, and delights in. But this flogging or scourging is not that of condemnation. "For there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus." But these light afflictions that we have, these scourgings that we have, are from a loving Father who chastens us and teaches us, instructs us. Abraham is going to be instructed in that which Almighty God has done for him. Going to be taught something. The Lord did tempt. And how did He tempt? How did He prove? How did He test Abraham? Well, verse 2 says, He says, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac." Well, I thought he had Ishmael too. Well, by Abraham's own, help, there was a young boy, Ishmael, born. But this is the son of promise. This is the one God gave him. "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." True worship is only when a man's eye is made to behold the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I'm going to expound on that in just a minute. What is it to behold Christ alone? Matthew 6:22 says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single," or that is, be sincere, or be toward Christ only, "thine whole body shall be full of light." Abraham heard from Almighty God. Verses 1 and 2. That's when the Lord spoke to Abraham, tempted him, and this is what He said: "I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love, and I want you to sacrifice him unto me." God did not speak to Abraham again until the 11th verse, when the scripture says in verse 11, "The Lord called unto him," the angel of the Lord Himself, "called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I." That was the next time God spoke to him. Now listen. Worship, first of all, is when Almighty God reveals Himself. The bottom line, the essence of worship. If you worship this morning, if I worship this morning, it's going to be, first of all, initiated by God. And Almighty God Himself must initiate it. Leave a man to himself, and I'm telling you, he knows nothing of worship. He has no desire to worship. If a man or a woman sits in this congregation this morning and knows not by faith Almighty God, as He has revealed Himself in the Scriptures, sovereign God, sovereign in creation, sovereign in providence, sovereign in salvation, if God has not revealed Himself, if God has not sought a man out that seeketh such to worship Him, if God has not sought him out, no matter how hard, which you wouldn't do, no matter how hard you think or how hard you try to worship, you just don't know. You don't know. And I wouldn't know. I don't know. Leave me to myself, and I cannot worship God. But a believer desires to know. He sees in Scripture, the Lord says, true worshipers, and a believer will say, I want to know something about that. I may not want to know what stock market's going to do tomorrow. I may not care whether or not, you know, so-and-so happens tomorrow. But I tell you this, I want to know something about this. A believer, you listen to a believer talk, and out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth speaks. And a believer, they speak of life, and you hear it. They want to know something about this. I want you to tell me. Worship. What is that? What is worship? What is that? Worship. The chastening hand of the Lord, the teaching hand of the Lord is known to a believer. And as I said last week, the bottom line, what is the greatest point at which a believer knows something of being taught of God? It's when a believer is left in his own mind to the apparent presence of God. That's the greatest trial that a believer will go through. The testing, the proving, the tempting. Abraham, God did tempt Abraham. And what did He say? I want you to take your son, your only son, and take him to a place that I'll show you. And sacrifice unto me. Sacrifice that boy unto me. And God didn't say one more word to him until after Abraham had gone up on that mountain. When Abraham said to the two men that were left to him, he says, the lad and I are going to go over there and worship. What was the last word that he had gotten from God? The last word was, I want you to take that boy and sacrifice that boy unto me. Now, I know that at the point at which Abraham told the two men, it had been 3 days since God spoken to him. God spoke to him, and 3 days Abraham went and knew the last word that I'd received from God. Someone says, I'm telling you, that must have been tough. You and I don't have any idea. We have no idea. What if you truly, truly, truly believed it? That's what God told me to do. Would you do it? Sure you would. Sure you would. You would. Struggling. This is what the believer is chastened with, taught with. The apparent loss of God's presence. His presence is salvation. That's what Psalm 42:5 says. His presence. God Almighty told Abraham, take this boy. Worship is the evidence of regeneration. I said a few moments ago, we are the circumcision. That's what Paul said, which worship God in the Spirit. Worship Him. Worship is never separated from obedience. In this 22nd chapter, in the 3rd verse, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place far off. Worship has something to do with obedience. It has something to do, first of all, I know this, with God revealing Himself to a man. I know that's the first thing. God must reveal. Pat, if God doesn't reveal Himself to you, you don't worship. Secondly, I know worship has got something to do with obedience. 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 Abraham did as God instructed him to do. If you know him this morning, you know something about obedience. Now, that's just the way it is. God gives a man or woman a heart after Christ to call upon Him. You obeyed Him. Come unto Me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. If God gives a man a heart or a woman a heart to call upon Him, they obey. Thy people shall be willing. But you'll say to yourself, and rightly so, but I don't see myself as obedient as I ought to be. And you're not, and I'm not either. But thanks be to Him that it's His obedience charged to me by which Almighty God views me in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as perfectly obedient. By His obedience, His righteousness before God's law charged to the believer, God is pleased. But I'll tell you this, there is an obedience to God's people. And the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the failings of my obedience, God's people are obedient in this world, not perfectly in themselves. But here is the way it is. This is just the way it is. He Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, was perfectly obedient toward God. Is that not true? That's right. His obedience, the righteousness that He earned as a man, the man, Christ Jesus, as a man, He walked perfectly before Almighty God in word, thought, in deed. This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The righteousness that He Himself wrought, God charges to those that He calls out of darkness, believers, imputed to them. They are imputed by the righteousness of Christ. They themselves now, they have a heart after Him. The presence of sin is still there. And we have a longing after Him and long to serve Him, admitting all the while, in myself, I see no good thing, but even the failings of my disobedience, I have this peace. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for that. He paid for it. I long after Him. I fall, I fail. In myself, I'm disobedient, but He's perfectly obedient. But there's an obedience. And where you do not find a hungering and a thirst, a longing after obedience to Christ. Paul said, shall we sin? You know, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Are we supposed to then go ahead and just live in disobedience to Almighty God and think it just doesn't matter because if Christ paid my debt, it doesn't matter. If that's your attitude, you don't know Him. You do not know Him. There's an obedience there. Abraham obeyed God. Obedience. Go back and read when you get a chance. Hebrews 11. And that what we call the roll call of faith. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Moses left Egypt. By faith, not every man, not every woman is called to do the exact same thing as far as your life is concern. Your life doesn't parallel my life in every aspect of my daily life. But I tell you this, there is a resemblance in that they obey God. They long after God. They hunger after Him. Worship is never separated from obedience. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Peter said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. This is what I know about worship. It has to be revealed. God has to be revealed, and there is obedience. They come. They seek after by a new heart. But now I want to get down, in closing, to the essence of worship. I know that it takes a revelation of God Himself to a man or a woman. I know that there is a semblance of obedience there. I know that. But the bottom line, what is it to worship God? What is that? Abraham in verse 5 said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. What happened on that mountain right there that set forth, that revealed the essence of worship? If I worship God, what happens? That's what I want to know. Tell me, what is it? They that worship, worship in spirit and truth. True worshipers, what is it? What is it to worship God? Well, I know this. I know that Galatians 3:6 said, Abraham, that's who we're looking at right here, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed God. When we say God, we're talking about Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Father, Son, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God Almighty, the Father, who had chosen him from the foundation of the world. And every believer does too. Every believer believed God. Abraham believed God. Let's just say it like this. Bring it to say. Do I know something about this? You know, Pat McGinnis believed God. What do they believe? What do they believe? They believe that God Almighty chose them from the foundation of the world unto salvation. That it was not something that they did. It was that Almighty God purposed to set His affection on them for no reason in themselves. That's what Ephesians 1 says. They believe, secondly, that the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, came into this world and by Himself took upon Himself the guilt, the penalty of all those that the Father had given Him from the foundation of the world. And He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. They believe the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed them and paid their debt. They believe, thirdly, that God the Holy Spirit will irresistibly and has irresistibly called them out of darkness, spiritual darkness, into the light, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God. He believed Him. God Almighty told Abraham, He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him up on that mountain. God had already told Abraham, this son, this boy right here, he was in the line of the Messiah. Abraham knew that. He knew it. He said, we're going to go up there and we're going to worship God. We're going to worship Him. You take away the revelation of God Himself to Abraham, and Abraham's not going to worship. You take away obedience, Abraham not going to worship. We're going up there and we're going to worship. Worship is the occupation of the heart with God Himself as He revealed Himself. As He has revealed Himself. Let me just read this to you out of Nehemiah 9, 7 and 8. Here's what this prophet says. Nehemiah 9, 7 and 8. Thou art the Lord, the God who did, number one, listen to this, choose Abram. That's what Nehemiah said. You're the Lord. You chose Abram. And you brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name of Abraham and foundest his heart faithful before thee and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to this seed, to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous. What Nehemiah said is, God, you chose him in electing grace. This man that worshiped God, God chose him, first of all. Chose him and brought him forth. That's what Nehemiah said. You brought him forth by irresistible grace and foundest his heart faithful. That is, you established it faithful. Lord, you did that. You did it. Abraham said, you abide here with the ass. Lad and I are going to go yonder and worship. Abraham believed God. He believed God concerning the promises that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He believed God that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He said, I and the lad are going to go and we're going to worship and we're coming back. God told him, you go up there and you sacrifice that boy unto me. But Abraham believed that God would satisfy himself by providing himself a lamb. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood. Now here they go. He just told him, he said, I and the lad, we're going to go up here and worship. Here they go. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. There's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross that was laid upon his back. Laid that wood on the boy, and he took the fire in his hand, knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac going up that mountain. Here they go. They're going to go worship. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham is going up here to worship God. And hear the words of this man that's going up to worship. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. This is what Abraham said. We're going to go up here and worship. And God will. God will. God will provide. And if God wills, God will. If God purposes, God will. God will provide himself. We're going to go up here and worship God. Here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the lamb? God will. God is going to provide. God will. God will see to it. Abraham and the lad are going up. And Abraham took that knife. He laid that boy. The Scripture says, came to the place in verse 9, which God did tell him of, had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And verse 10 says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was going to cut that boy up, section him up, and lay him in the appropriate order and was going to put that fire to that wood and sacrifice that boy. That's what he was going up there to do. And he said, I'm going up to worship God. I'm going to worship the Lord. And the Scripture says in verse 11, and I'm getting to the essence of worship. We're getting here. Abraham stretched forth his hand, verse 10, and took the knife to slay his boy, and the angel of the Lord Himself, called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Let me ask you something. Do you think that God Almighty, God omnipotent, God omniscient, who knows all, the eternal God, do you think Abraham just showed him something? God said to him, Abraham, now I know. Do you think he was ignorant of that before? You think Abraham just showed God something? Now I know. Oh no. I'll tell you who said that. The I Am said that. When he said, now I know, He's always known. When Moses said, Who shall I say sent me? The eternal God says, You tell him that I am sent you. The right now sent you. Abraham, now I know. And he knew it 3 days ago. And he knew it from the foundation of the world. And he'll know it in that day, as far as we think. You see, Almighty God is the I Am. He's the now. He is the eternal. We think in time, like God didn't know it a while ago, but now He knows it. God has never learned anything. Now I know. And Abraham, now you know. Now you know. But I've always known. Now I know. Lay not thy hand. And then he said in verse 13, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of the son. Behold, behind him, a male lamb, a ram, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took that ram, and he took his son off of that altar. And he took that ram and he put the ram on the altar in the stead, the Scripture says, of his son. And he looked and he saw right then substitution. He saw it. The Lord Jesus Christ says, Abraham saw my day. And he rejoiced. And he was glad. And he worshiped. He bowed. That's what that word worship means, to bow. In heart, Abraham saw my day. He saw substitution. He said, the lad and I are going to go up yonder and we're going to worship God. He believed God. And he worshiped him. He saw substitution. That's what that boy deserved, and that's what I deserve, and that's what you deserve. He saw my day. The bottom line, the essence where the paddle meets the water of worship is when Almighty God reveals Himself to a man, to a woman, and He reveals to them substitution. That's the bottom line of worship. That's when a man will worship God. Lord, You're worthy. You have taken what I am and You charged it to Your Son. He put that ram on that thicket. I took that ram out of that thicket and put it on there. And Abraham saw the day of the Lord right then. He saw it. rejoiced. Here Abraham and the lad. He said, the lad and I are going to go up there and worship that lamb, ram cut up, laid on that altar. And now Isaac and Abraham stood there and watched. And Isaac, I can just imagine, the words rang in his ears. And he asked his dad, he said, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb? And Abraham told him, he said, God will provide Himself. God will provide Himself. God will provide Himself. Not only will God do it, but God will provide Himself a lamb. And they worshiped. They bowed. Worship is seeing by faith Christ and Him crucified. Substitution. Beholding the provision of the Lord in the providing of Himself a lamb. And the Scripture says in that next verse, 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is to this day in the mount of the Lord. It shall be seen. That's what Jehovah Jireh means. It means the Lord will provide, or the Lord will see, or see to it. That's what the Lord will see to it. Here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? The Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to it. The lad and I will go yonder and we're going to worship. And we'll come back. This morning, if you worship, you worship spiritually and truthfully. Well, what's the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. By me. If a man or a woman worships, this is what they see. By faith, they see substitution. That's the heart of the gospel. Substitution. God Almighty has everlastingly loved the people. Christ must redeem them. He must redeem them. The soul that sinneth, Robin, must die. If Christ be not their substitute, what hope do they have? Abraham worshipped, and all God's people do. All right, thank you.